I want to finish Galatians chapter 3 today. I'll just read the verses I wish to concentrate on. Verse 25 of chapter 3 of Galatians, "For after that faith is come, we are no longer under a schoolmaster, for ye are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you have been baptized into Christ, have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither bond nor free. There is neither male nor female. For ye are all one in Christ Jesus. And if ye be Christ, then are ye Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise." We have seen in previous verses of this chapter that the apostle is pointing out that salvation is not of the law. It is of grace, and it is of faith in Jesus Christ. That Abraham was justified before God and received the promise that he did 430 years before the law was given from Mount Sinai. And the previous two sermons I preached, one was in relation to the moral law, which gave unto us the knowledge of sin, revealed to us our inability to keep it, and by that means be justified before God. And hence, seeing therefore there was no justification to be had by the law, it then directed us to Christ. It was the schoolmaster, as our tutor, as it puts it here, "wherefore the law was our schoolmaster to bring us unto Christ, that we might be justified by faith." Literally, schoolmaster unto Christ. But then also I looked at the law ceremonial, for the law ceremonial also directed us toward Christ, in that under the types and shadows Christ was set forth as the means by which sinners condemned by the law could be justified before God. But the moral law itself could not justify. As Hebrews tells us, the blood of bulls and goats could never take away sin. Sins were covered, but it was effective to those who looked beyond the types to the promise of the coming Messiah. And the Bible speaks of the Lamb of God slain from the foundation of the world. It was effective to those of the old covenant who by faith looked forward to the fulfillment of the promise. And this, of course, is what Hebrews is about, that they looked for a city that hath foundation, whose builder and maker is God, eternal in the heavens. They were not preoccupied with the earthly inheritance, but with the heavenly. The earthly inheritance I will deal with at some future time. And so, as we have seen, these Judaizers, as we should call them, were seeking to introduce the law, I suspect moral as well as ceremonial, because we are told that there were those who came down and said to others, Gentiles, they needed to be circumcised in order to be saved. But what they were doing was adding to the finished work of Christ, teaching those who were already justified by faith in Christ that there was something else that they needed, namely the adherence to the law. Not sure exactly how far they went in what they were teaching was necessary, but circumcision certainly, and probably other practices that were from the law ceremonial as well. And so we see that the apostle says that Abraham was justified not by the law, but by faith. So that the law, which was 430 years after, didn't annul. Verse 17, this I say, that the covenant that was confirmed before of God in Christ, the law which was 430 years after, cannot disannul, that it should make the promise of none effect. He goes on to say, if the inheritance be of law, it is no more of promise. But God gave it to Abraham by promise. And the thing was, if we, again, as I've said before, we look at Hebrews 11, speaking of those who were of faith in the Old Testament, in Hebrews chapter 11, speaking of those who believed and were justified, having suffered, many of them, cruel torments, persecutions, and so on, it says, all these, verse 39 of Hebrews 11, all these, all having obtained a good report through faith, received not the promise, but having provided some better thing for us, that they without us should not be made perfect. They didn't receive the promise, that is the reality of it, but they believed it and were justified by believing it, just as Abraham believed God in his promise and was justified by faith in believing the promise. So now we come to this statement. I'll read from verse 25 indeed. But after that faith has come, we are no longer under schoolmaster or tutor, for ye are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither bond nor free, there is neither male nor female, for ye are all one in Christ Jesus. And if ye be Christ, then are you Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. So here he speaks of the fact, after that faith has come, we are no longer under a schoolmaster to lead us to Christ, because we have come to Christ. We believe in him. So that, he said, we are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. That means if we do not have faith in Christ Jesus, we are not the children of God. As I've intimated, I've been involved in somewhat of a controversy with a publication wherein the statement was made that the Jews are God's people. And I strongly disagree with that. That is just because they're Jews. They are God's people. That's not what the Bible teaches. The Bible teaches that we are the children of God only by faith in Christ Jesus. And the unbelieving Jew does not believe the Messiah has even come. They consider the Lord Jesus Christ to be a swindler, a deceiver, and such like. And of course the same goes for the unbelieving Gentile. I have to emphasize that because the modern day Judaizers say that when you say such thing as I have said, that we're anti-Semitic. And they give us dark warnings. Boast not against the natural branches, otherwise you might be cut off. Well, we're not boasting against anybody or for anything. We're merely stating what the Bible teaches. And the Bible teaches that those who are the children of God are so by faith in Christ Jesus. And the unbelieving Jew does not believe in Christ and therefore cannot be a child of God. And I repeat, the same with the unbelieving Gentile. Both are in the same boat. Again, if we go back to Romans, the Apostle Paul, himself a Jew, of course, but a believing one, plainly states that those who are circumcised and are uncircumcised are justified in the same way. Namely, that it is by faith in Jesus Christ. Indeed, he says, a person is not a Jew in the proper sense, which is just one outwardly, neither which is outward in the flesh, circumcision that is, but he's a Jew which is one inwardly. The circumcision is that of the heart, in the spirit and not in the letter, whose praise is not of men but of God. In other words, they're fleshly Jews and they are spiritual ones. The difference being, one believes in Christ and the other doesn't. And we have the same thing in Galatians. Also in the Gospel of John, as Christ was arguing with the Jews, and I'll dwell on this more some other time, he said, they boasted, we're the children of Abraham. Well, he said, I know you are, but only after the flesh, because later on he says, but you're not the children of Abraham, because if you were, you would do the deeds of Abraham, and you would believe me. So there are those who are just of the flesh, by natural birth, and those who are born of the Spirit. And those who are after the flesh, they are not the children of God. For Christ went on to say there in John chapter 8, he said, you're of your father the devil, and the works of the devil you will do. I will concentrate on that in the near future, more on that in the near future. So here he says that all, Jew and Gentile, are children of God only by faith in Christ Jesus. No other way. Salvation is by faith alone, in Christ alone, according to the Scriptures alone, to the glory of God alone. The solos of the Reformation. And whoever does not believe in Christ as he is revealed in Scripture, that he was who he said he was, that he did what the Bible tells us he did, namely made atonement for sin, then those who do not believe in him will perish. They won't have everlasting life. They are not the people of God. And again, of course, we are told that those who are the children of God, Jew and Gentile, are adopted into the family of God, which means they weren't there before. They weren't children of God by natural birth. An adopted child is one that wasn't born in the family. But when we're born again of the Spirit of God, we're adopted by the Spirit into the family of God. We receive the Spirit of adoption. And so, he goes on to say, as many of you have been baptized into Christ, have put on Christ. I don't think he's just referring here to the public ordinance, but rather he's referring to who by the Spirit have been baptized into Christ, namely who have believed in him and had been outwardly baptized as a testimony to the fact that they were now followers of the Lord Jesus Christ. As such, they have put on Christ, that is to say, they've taken his yoke upon them. As he said in that great invitation, take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest for your soul. And so a person who's truly baptized into Christ is the right to call themselves Christian. They and they alone are Christian. And if we are not baptized into Christ, that is, of the Spirit, if we're not born of the Spirit, we don't belong to him. We're not the children of God. With the children of Satan, we're on the way to eternal ruin. And then he goes on to make this very important statement. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither bond nor free. There is neither male nor female. For ye are all one in Christ Jesus. He says there is no distinction as to our nationality. There is no distinction as to our status in society. And there is no distinction as to our gender. And these, of course, are most important. Those who are trusting in Christ, of whatever nation they are equal, are equally in Christ. We, by faith, are bound to him. We're in Christ. The Bible says, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. So there are no national distinctions, specifically between Jew and Greek or Jew and Gentile. The Bible tells us there will be people in heaven from every nation, kindred, tongue, and people. The Great Commission was to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. There's no racial distinction as far as God is concerned. We are all members of the human race. We've all descended from Adam. But in Adam all die, so we need to be, by faith, in the second Adam, or the last Adam, the Lord Jesus Christ. And in Christ, as far as salvation is concerned, and it is as far as salvation is concerned and nothing else, We are all equal. There's no racial distinction. There is no status distinction. Here he's talking about slaves and freemen, because as we know, or ought to know, slavery was endemic in the Roman Empire. There were thousands upon thousands of people enslaved. There is, of course, also what the Lord Jesus Christ said about being enslaved to sin. He said, whoever commits sin, that is, habitually commits sin, is a slave of sin. That word for servant there is slave, an unpaid servant. So, here it's talking about our outward status, whether we were bondmen or freemen, they all had an equal standing in the Lord Jesus Christ. There was no distinctions made by him. There might be by men, but not by God, not by Christ. And gender, male nor female. A woman or a girl who believes is as much saved as any man or boy who believes. There's no distinction. Now, feminists have misused this verse to justify female ministers. This has nothing to do with ministry, it is to do with salvation. It is a typical example of taking a truth out of its context and misapplying it for their own agenda. So there are no distinctions within the body of Christ. I've often thought, you know, well, assemblies where there are elders, usually they are of the educated class, so to speak. And that ought not to be exclusively so, because an elder's qualification doesn't depend upon his educational attainments, or shouldn't do, but on his spiritual attainments. What they are spiritually in Christ. But that's it for another day, so to speak. So there are no distinctions. And particularly between Jew and Gentile. This, of course, was causing problems in the early church and necessitated the First Council at Jerusalem to deal with it. And then he goes on to say, we are all one in Christ Jesus, one body, that mystical body of Christ, that spiritual body, so to speak. The church is spoken of as the body of Christ. And the members can't be removed from that body, otherwise Christ would be, have amputation, so to speak. Spiritual for all that, but amputations nonetheless. We are the body of believers, the spiritual, mystical body of Christ, all of whatever nationality, whatever status, whatever gender. We all have equal privileges. It doesn't mean we'll have the same gifts or in the same ministries, but we're all equally saved and have title deeds to heaven because of what Christ has done. So we are all one in Christ Jesus. And we must emphasize this because the Judaizers, the dispensationalists today, are making a distinction between the Jewish believer and the Gentile believer. And they disparage the Gentile believers in presenting the Gentile Christians as a sort of an afterthought by God. That when Christ came and his kin rejected him, according to the flesh, that is, rejected him, then he went to plan B. It sort of is presented as an afterthought that then he decided he would gather in the Gentiles to form his church as an alternative to the Jews who refused him. Well, of course, this is clean contrary to what the Bible teaches. As if the Lord didn't know what would occur, and that it wasn't in his purpose originally to save the Gentiles, which of course the Bible specifically in the Old Testament mentions, that there would be a light to lighten the Gentiles, the glory of his people Israel. And so that is sort of looking down on the Gentile believer. You're just an afterthought. That wasn't his original intention when first he came. So, because the Jews wouldn't accept him, he took up with the Gentiles. That's the implications of it. So that there is not an equality in Christ according to this teaching. And in addition, should we call them the extreme dispensationalists, believe that the Gentile Christians will be ruling or reigning with Christ in heaven, and the Jews will be reigning with Christ on earth. In one sense, that would put the Gentile Christians in a higher position than the Jews, but that's not the way it's presented. And they will say that Christ is not yet king, because the kingdom hasn't come. And that won't happen till the millennium. And he'll reign from Jerusalem over an earthly kingdom, in which the Bible knows nothing at all about. So we're all one in Christ Jesus. We are all of equal status, because it is all of grace. It's all undeserved favor. And we need to remind ourselves of this. You know, self-righteousness is a manifestation of pride. That we think we are better than the next person because we're Christian and they are not. Or perhaps because we think ourselves to be better Christians than they, or that we have a more correct theological outlook than they. A person is a Christian who, repenting of their sins, trust by faith alone in Christ alone, nothing else. That's what makes a person a Christian. Even if they have some other aberrant beliefs, provided they're not fundamental, if they believe in salvation by faith alone in Christ alone, they are Christian. They might be erroneous Christians in some respects, even ignorant, but Christians they are, because it is by faith, through grace. It's not of ourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. And so it says, you are one. We're one body. One kingdom indeed. In Christ Jesus. He doesn't have any favorites. We're all favored. Because grace is defined as the undeserved favor of God. And if we start thinking we're better than the next one, superior to the next one, that's the sin of pride, undoubtedly. That's not to say, of course, that if a professing brother or sister is believing erroneous things, depending on what they are, that they should not be pulled up and corrected. But merely to put people down because they don't read from exactly the same hymn sheet as us, that is not right, and speaks of pride in us. We must all come to the place in which Paul stated it, in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. And he was talking present tense there, not what he was in the past, what he was as an apostle. And surely, if we have any true knowledge of ourselves, we know that to be true. In my flesh dwelleth no good thing, rather a world of iniquity. And then he goes on to say, if ye be Christ's, then are ye Abraham's seed, and heirs according to the promise. Now there's a statement, and that applies both to Jews and Gentiles equally. It doesn't make a distinction between them. If ye are Abraham's seed, then are ye the children of Abraham and heirs according to the promise. And this again, of course, reminds us. This is, in fact, Matthew chapter 8. And it's after the case of the woman taken in adultery. And he's debating with the Jews, and they ask him in verse 25 of Matthew 8, he said, who art thou? Jesus saith unto them, even the same as I said unto you from the beginning. And so it goes on. Verse 31, then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, if ye continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. They answered him, we be Abraham's seed, and were never in bondage to any man. How sayest thou, we shall be made free? Jesus answered them, verily I say unto you, whosoever committeth sin is the servant of sin, the slave of sin. That was the freedom he was talking about, set free from sinning. If the Son therefore shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed. And then he says, I know you are Abraham's seed, but you seek to kill me because my word hath no place in you. I speak that which I have seen with my father, ye do that which you have seen with your father. They answered and said unto him, Abraham is our father. If you were Abraham's children, you would do the works of Abraham. But now you seek to kill me, a man that hath told you the truth, which I heard of God, this did not Abraham. Ye do the deeds of your father. They said to him, we be not born of fornication, we have one father, even God. Jesus said unto them, if God were your father, ye would love me, for I proceeded forth and came from God, neither came of myself, but he sent me. So here they are claiming descent from Abraham, which was true. According to the flesh, they were the children of Abraham. But according to the Spirit, they were anything but. He said, you know, if you really were Abraham's seed, in the spiritual sense, then you wouldn't seek to kill me. But he says, you do seek to kill me. Why? Because my word has no place in you. And they went on to say, Abraham is our father. Jesus then said, well, if you're Abraham's children, you would do the works of Abraham. Now, of course, he's speaking here in a spiritual sense. But now you seek to kill me, a man that had told you the truth, which I've heard of God. This did not Abraham. So, yes, As to their lineage, earthly, they were the descendants of Abraham. As to their spiritual lineage, it was rather different. And he said, you know, you won't receive what I'm telling you. If you were truly the children of Abraham, you would. And he said, you do the deeds of your father. They said, we be not born of fornication. They were obviously referring to question marks, no doubt, over his birth. He said, well, if God were your father, you would love me. And then he goes on to say, why do you not understand my speech, even because ye cannot hear my word? They were spiritually deaf. And then, you are of your father the devil. The lusts of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. And because I tell you the truth, ye believe me not. He said, he that is of God heareth God's words. Verse 47, ye therefore hear them not, because you are not of God. And then they accused him of being devil-possessed. Later on in this chapter he said, before Abraham was, I am, testifying to his deity. But there, they were claiming their spirit, their natural descent from Abraham as being a privilege and meritorious, rather proud of that fact. But their spiritual heritage and lineage was rather different. As Christ said to them, well, if you were Abraham's seed, you would believe me. You wouldn't be going about to kill me. This Abraham never did. But he said, my word has no place in you. And the reason was because they didn't belong to God. They were not of the spiritual lineage of Abraham. And so we have here then, it says in Galatians chapter 2, that those who are of faith, if you be Christ, then are ye Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise, and they are of Christ because they believe in him. Whosoever believeth him shall not perish but have everlasting life. Well, of course, the unbelieving Jews, like the unbelieving Gentiles, did not receive his testimony. And he said, you're not of God, because you don't receive my word. And here it tells us that those, Jew or Gentile, male or female, bond or free, whoever it is that trusts by faith in Christ, belong to Christ. And if we belong to Christ, we are Abraham's seed. Obviously, not his fleshly lineage, but his spiritual lineage. As I spoke in this previous sermon on the seed of the seed. We are Christ's seed, which in Isaiah 53 is spoken of. He shall see of his seed and be satisfied. This was the prophetic utterance in Isaiah 53, that clear reference to the crucifixion of Christ. Whereby it says in verse 11, he shall see of the travail of his soul and shall be satisfied. By his solid knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities. The previous verse, it pleased the Lord to bruise him, he hath put him to grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed. He shall prolong his days, the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hands. And as it says here in previous verses of Galatians 3, that when it's referring to Abraham's seed, it's seed singular, and that seed is Christ. But then, those that believe in Christ are said to be the spiritual seed of Abraham, but also we're the seed of Christ, because it says, he shall see of his seed, and shall be satisfied. By his knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many, for he shall bear their iniquity. The believing Jew is both a fleshly descendant and a spiritual descendant of Abraham. They're the children of Abraham according to the flesh and the spirit. The Gentiles only of the spirit. But that's the important part of it, that we are spiritually united to the fleshly descendants of Abraham, and they united to Christ. But the whole tenor of this passage is that those who are not of faith are not of God. They are not the people of God. As it says in John, passage which we looked at, he says, you're of your father the devil. How can such terminology be used of a child of God? You're of your father the devil. But obviously not. So here it's so plain. If you're in Christ, you're Abraham's seed, and heirs according to the promise. That is, God said to Abraham, in thee shall all the families of the earth be blessed. And so, the church at Galatia would have contained both Jewish and Christian believers. We find that in Acts that Paul spent quite a deal of time not only evangelizing, but teaching the church in Galatia the truth as it is in Christ, which of course then he expresses his amazement that they were soon turned away from that truth that he had so diligently taught them. But he makes it absolutely plain that we're not justified by the law, moral, nor by the law, ceremonial, that if it was by the law, then it would overthrow grace, but it is by grace alone, by faith alone, in the Lord Jesus Christ, which was gloriously revealed. And only those who believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, be baptized into Christ, are the children of God. Well, that's obvious that it should be so. I mean, the whole tenor of Scripture is in that direction. And how could it be otherwise? That by natural birth, we should be the people of God. Whereas in Romans it teaches, in Adam all die. Why? Because we've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. If we were of the law, we'd perish in the law. If we were without the law, that is, the Gentiles, we'd perish without the law. But if we believe, Jew and Gentile, then we are Christ's, heirs according to the promise, adopted into the family of God, and we're all one in Christ Jesus. Again, I must emphasize that this idea that there's a separate destiny for the Jewish believer to the Gentile believer is heresy. It is heresy. The Bible knows nothing of it. There shall be one fold, literally one flock and one shepherd, as Christ said in John 8. Not a separate destiny for the one and the other, as the dispensationalists teach. One fold, one shepherd. He lays down his life for the sheep. And yet, there are those who tell us that, no, there's a different destiny, and we're not one. Two separate people. It's John chapter 10, not John chapter 8, as I should have said. There shall be one fold, one flock, and one shepherd. Well, which is true? Verse 16 of John 10, mentioned many times, other sheep I have, which are not of this fold, them also must I bring, and they shall hear my voice, and there shall be one fold and one shepherd. Those who didn't hear his voice was because they weren't of his sheep. Those who are the children of Abraham spiritually are those who have heard his voice, believed on him, and are baptized into him, born of the Spirit of God. The church is one. The body of believers is one. The kingdom they enter into is a spiritual kingdom, not an earthly one. I shall deal with that again, not too far from now. This is very pernicious teaching, that there are people who are the people of God by natural birth, even though they don't believe in Christ, they despise him and say all manner of evil against him. And yet, there are professing people of God who say that they are the people of God. These people are. There's something very wrong. It's either a delusion or ill-taught. What could anything be more plain than it is here in Galatians? May we study it and believe it, because it is by that means we are guarded against errors, and there's plenty of errors floating around in these days. Amen.